Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are both the lightest one ever who comes in our midst with life and breath, and yet the one who brings a weight unequaled. We invite, we need your presence in our midst today, right now. Bring to life your word read, opened, spoken. Open it to us in a new way today. Come alive in us. Reign over us, fill us like only you can. Spirit of the living God, show up, please. In the name of the risen Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, we're now in the season. We're in the season of Easter. And in the season of Easter, there's a new kind of anticipation. As we got ready for Easter, we anticipated the resurrection of Jesus. But there's a different kind of anticipation that comes after Easter, and it has to do because we're waiting for something. It seems kind of strange because we spent the whole season before Easter, the whole season of Lent, waiting for something. But we're waiting for something now because Jesus promised that we would be waiting for something. Jesus did the work of salvation when he walked on the earth. He lived a perfect life, and then he went through all that stuff before Easter. And he endured death for our sake, made a perfect sacrifice, and then came back from the dead. But then after that, some pretty unique things happened. And they're talked about at the end of the book of Luke and the beginning of the book of Acts. And let me just read you a little bit of what happens. It summarizes the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to his followers that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. It was true, he was risen from the dead. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And then this is Acts 1 verse 4. On one occasion, as he was eating with them, he gave them this command: don't leave Jerusalem. Don't do anything for a little while. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. And verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The season of Easter lasts for 50 days after Easter, up until the day that we'll celebrate in a few weeks. It'll be red. Everybody will dress up in red. It's called Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, where we celebrate the arrival of New Testament Holy Spirit. And Jesus told everybody, wait for the arrival of this special one, this helper, the Holy Spirit. But I'm not sure if you've been listening and paying attention to this whole setup time that we've done this morning. God's Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, was doing stuff a long time before Pentecost. That's the time that we associate with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But there was a lot going on before the early church and the New Testament Holy Spirit stuff. And since we, like the early church, have been asked to wait for the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, why don't we just spend a few weeks and spend this morning looking at and like getting to know the Ruach. That's the Hebrew word, and the whole Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The Ruach, the breath, the wind, the Spirit of God, and what the Ruach of God was doing before he showed up in a very new way on Pentecost. And in order to do that, we've already said this, but in order to do that, you have to go back to the very beginning of Scripture. In fact, the first two verses of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the creation, everything was chaos and darkness and formlessness. There was no order to anything. And over top of that formless nothingness, there was the Spirit of the living God. And what was the Spirit of the living God doing? He was hovering. For a long time in my life, my understanding of the hovering of the Spirit of God was sort of like a stage prop hovering. Not much different than this banner behind me. Just there, the existence, hovering, poised. Or not poised, but just like stagnant, static. That is not what the Spirit of God is doing in creation. This is not just a piece of stationary. You know what I mean? In creation, in the creation story. This is not just a piece of the backdrop in the creation story. The hovering of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this once before. That word is only used one other time, and it's in reference to the actions of a mother bird over top of a nest, stirring up the nest. But what's happening, actually, it would be more helpful to think of when you look out your window in the springtime at the actions of a hummingbird. When you look at a hummingbird, and the hummingbird is there at that feeder, and it looks like the hummingbird is still. It's in one place. But in order for the hummingbird to be in one place in midair, it's hovering, requires the beating of wings somewhere between 10 and 80 times per second. Per second, not per minute, per second. A bumblebee needs to do it somewhere more like 200 times per second in order to do that. Although bumblebees are more threatening, so we're sticking with hummingbird. That's in order to stay in one place. The Spirit of the living God at creation is not just there, taking up space, but more poised, ready, doing this, y'all. This is the Spirit of the living God of creation. Like, eager to dig in. Like, shaking with energy. Ready for, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I know we're going to do something. Let's do it. My favorite way to refer to God's Holy Spirit is, you probably figured it out at this point, the Spirit of the living God, because it gets after that a little bit more. The more pulsating, energetic, excited, giddy energy of God ready to do a thing. That's what the Spirit of the living God is like at creation. And you see it a little bit more when a couple verses later, you find out that the only difference between a pile of dirt and human beings, the whole race of humanity, is the breath or the Spirit of God. God grabs a handful of dirt, smashes it together like a Play-Doh project, and it doesn't really turn into anything until God breathes the breath of life or the Spirit, his Ruach, in that pile of dirt, switches it from a pile of dirt into something that bears his image. The only difference between a pile of dirt and you and I is the breath of God. The Ruach of God changes us from nothing to the most exciting part of creation. That's what the vibration and excited energy of the Spirit of the living God can do. those who bear the very image of God. It's interesting then that that's not only applied to humanity, but then if you look late in chapter 1 of Genesis, the breath of life, that same term, ruach, is applied to a lot of the creatures in creation, to Adam and Eve and everything with the breath of life in it. That's how God sort of describes a lot of creation. This is the blessing to you and everything that has the breath of life. The ruach of God is pronounced over a lot of creation, is given to a lot of creation. But that's not the only place that the creative spirit of God shows up in the Old Testament. It's easy to think in broad terms, like creation, universal terms. We'll come back to that again in a second, but I want to look at one specific instance of the creative spirit of God showing up in one person's life, because that is what the spirit of the living God shows up like in the Old Testament more often than not. This is from Exodus chapter 31. And before I read this little bit of scripture to you, I'd like to just preface this by letting you know that the preceding five chapters include a description of what the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, is supposed to look like. And when I say what it's supposed to look like, I mean its dimensions and the materials it's supposed to be made out of. And that would be the structure and the whole thing itself and all the furniture inside of it and the silverware and who's supposed to be able to come inside of it. Everything about the tabernacle is described for five chapters preceding this. The Israelites are still wandering around in the wilderness after they've been set free from slavery. And there are a lot of detailed instructions given to Moses. And Moses must be thinking, well, that's a lot to remember. And I forgot to make a note on my smartphone, and I don't know exactly what should I do with all this. Fortunately, God has a plan for this. And this is the plan that he gives him in Exodus 31. Listen to this. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have chosen Bezalel, or Bezalel, depends how you want to say that one. I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. And he doesn't just stop with Bezalel. Moreover, I've appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And he doesn't just stop with Bezalel and Aholiab. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers, to make everything I've commanded you. And then he goes on for another five verses to describe all of the things that he's just spent five chapters giving instructions for. Moral of this little story, did you notice? The Spirit, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Explicit statement about the Spirit of God giving one person the creative ability of God to do a very specific thing, to create, to bring to life, and to not to create like a thing that exists, but to create a thing of beauty, of intricate detail, with functionality that has a specific purpose, a bunch of specific purposes intended by God. And he's not just going to sort of be able to do that. He is specifically gifted by the Spirit of the living God for this purpose. Now, that's only explicitly stated about Bezalel, But the way that Aholiab and then all the other workers doing this work are included, like tacked on there, it seems like the Spirit might be extended to them. But we're going to stick with Bezalel here. This is the way that you will see the Spirit show up in the Old Testament. The Spirit before Pentecost. The way that the Spirit who was present in the Old Testament since creation shows up, will show up the Ruach of God in very intentional, personal ways for very specific jobs and moments and purposes and times. It happens all through the Old Testament. There are all sorts of different purposes for which this happens. But most importantly today, we're focusing on the creative purposes of God, which is why we're looking, why I brought up Bezalel. When we think about the way that God works and is present in the world, it's very common for us, we who spend a lot of time in the church anyway, it's very common for us to lean into aspects of God like his faithfulness. God is faithful. He's steadfast. He's reliable. He's consistent. And y'all, that's a good thing. God is all of those things. We need God to be all of those things, and that is true. It's just that God being faithful and consistent and steadfast is only a partial description of who God is and how God works. I say that because the Ruach of God is a little less predictable. The Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, it might be helpful to think back to what was happening in your yard on Friday. And if that's not helpful, have you ever been on your way to your car with something important in your hand, or in from the mailbox, with an important piece of mail, or a receipt, or a note you scribbled on a napkin with important information, and a wind picks up, and it flies out of your hand, and you're chasing it across the parking lot, and trying to catch it, and then catch it, and then the wind just keeps taking it a different direction. Sometimes it's just easier to just give up than to try to catch the napkin or the piece of mail or whatever. Sometimes it's just, whatever. It wasn't that important. You know, if the Spirit of the living God were to inspire life or to do something that we didn't expect, sometimes it's easier to just be like, you know what, let's just pretend like that's not there, because it's just easier to think about the steady things that I know. Let me attempt to say this a different way. There are plenty of reasons to find fault in or be frustrated with others, with other people or with things in creation. I don't know if it's things in creation or created things. To just be frustrated with things that are happening out there, things that need fixing, things that just bug you, might be bugs themselves, that bother you in creation. But maybe the reason it's so easy to find fault and be frustrated is because we have kind of taken the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and we've really applied the We want to take the New Testament Holy Spirit of God and wear him like a warm blanket, kind of spread over, because the New Testament Holy Spirit, I don't want to get too far into this because we're coming to him in a few weeks, but it's more universal, spread over the church and over the world. It's more general, sort of preserves the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And again, I'll talk about that in a few weeks, but we want to take the Holy Spirit of God and use him to preserve our unchanging ideals of God. God is going to be just consistent for us, but the Spirit of God can move in very unique ways too. And the Ruach of God, the way that God moved in the Old Testament, in these very individual ways, I suddenly feel like I'm discombobulated. This happens to me in the middle of sermons sometimes. I'm going to step away from my notes because they're messing me up. The message that I felt compelled to share, feel compelled to share with you this morning about the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament is that the Ruach of God moves in individual and unique ways. And when we look at the world and we see, when we kind of apply that in this universal way, we make it too universal. We just broad brush that and we say, yep, God created the heavens and the earth. And isn't that great? Then we can sort of like, we can be numb in the way that we respect everyone else. But wouldn't it change things a little bit if as we look at the world around us and everything in the world around us, all of the stuff that's created in the world around us. And when I say all of the stuff, I mean everything. Like every bud on every tree and every flower that's coming out of the ground. And I don't just mean the created order, but I mean like the color in someone else's eyes and the way that somebody rolls their R's and the pen strokes in somebody's handwriting and the like, if you're an artist, even if you just appreciate art, the way that art is created or the sound, the background sounds in music or whatever it is, the way that an animal moves through space or something like that, that if we notice every movement of everything in creation and we treated every single individual aspect of everything in creation as though it were the Holy Spirit of God choosing to create a new thing. This is the life-giving Spirit of God choosing to create something new. Every time there is something new, every time you take a breath, that's the Spirit of the living God allowing that to happen in you. And doesn't it change your appreciation for the next breath if that breath is a strategic choice of the living God to allow that to happen? If that's the Ruach of God in your lungs and not just some biological process. I mentioned the color in someone's eyes. If the depth of color that you perceive across the room on the wall or the color you see in someone's eyes, the twinkle in someone else's eyes, is the bursting forth of the Spirit of the living God in creation, a choice of God to be present in creation. If that is God bursting in intentionally in the moment that you notice it, if that's God choosing to be present there just as intentionally as he was when God sent his spirit on Bezalel specifically to build and decorate the temple of God for the people of God so that they would be directed back to him. If we saw everything that we see and smelled everything we smell and heard everything we hear as though every piece of what we take in from moment to moment was an intentional move of God to point us back to him, doesn't that change the life that we live? That's the movement of the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Amen? That's how much God is excited. That's God doing this and saying, y'all, let's go. I'm here. I want to show up. So whatever it is that you're doing today, pay attention. If you open your eyes, if you'll pay attention, God is hovering, not just over the chaos of pre-creation. He's hovering over the chaos of, you know, whatever's going on for you. The Spirit of the living God is hovering and ready. And it's not just sort of it's not just the New Testament Holy Spirit and the way that New Testament Holy Spirit does things. This is Ruach, just for you, just for the moment that you're living in. The Holy Spirit is present and doing something in you, for you, in the moment that you're in, revealing something to you, bringing something to life, showing you some new color, some new sound, something that you're supposed to notice. So, be ready to notice it. I don't need my notes anymore. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we need you to sharpen our senses. We are so ready so often to just to overcomplicate you and not just to kind of look around us. And at the same time, we're so ready when we look around us that we'll explain things away, or we'll just look at things just at their surface value. And oh God, may we see you, Holy Spirit, come alive. Make us come alive. Reveal yourself to us. Bring us to life, and bring our moments to life. Create in us whatever it is that's not alive or that needs some adaptation or something. We trust you. And we need you. Just do what needs doing. As much as you're moving in the church, move in us. Work in each of us as individuals. The exact workings. Show us specifically how we need to come to you today. And open our eyes in exactly the specific ways that we need to have them opened. God, we love you. Holy Spirit, make us yours. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.